Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Chris Brewer at Affordable Heat and Air, 317-656-7945. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
This is Trackside with Kirk Cavan and Kevin Lee. Brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
This is going to be a throwaway lap for Marcus Ericsson as he exits turn number four.
It was 239.95, 235.33, and then 230.433. He crosses the yard of bricks ever so slow. Lap number four, 195.411. He completed the run in his four-lap average at 220.702.
Nah, the issue was that I backed off a lap too early, so I thought I'd done the run, so it was my mistake. The team did a really good job and gave me a good car, and their run would have been good enough to, you know, made us safely through.
The lap one, 229.288. Michael, that is not going to get it done.
No, he's...
And he hit the wall.
Yep, he tagged the wall. Oh, and now he spun. Nolan Siegel spun back in, hits the rear of the entrance of turn number two. Oh, so unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't really care if I'm fine at this point. That's somewhat irrelevant, you know. We're going home because we did everything we could, and I think we can be proud of that. Yeah.
He roars his way up turn number four.
Right now, it's a 234 mile per hour average. Lap number four in the books. It is 233.816. The four lap average, 234.220. Scott McLaughlin grabs the pole for the 108th Indianapolis 500 with a four lap average of 234.220 miles per hour.
That means we're on. Welcome to Trackside, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan in Indianapolis, live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, less than a week away from the world's greatest race. I'm Kevin Lee, and this is Kurt Cavan.
We've been here a lot of years. First time at turn one of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're looking at the roundabout, so if you're driving on the roundabout, wave on the roundabout, pull over. There's parking here just to our west, and we've got drivers galore. And the first one up, we're going to talk racing tonight from 6 until 8, and then we'll be joined by Beyond the Bricks with Mike Thompson and Jake Query.
Yep.
They follow us.
So we're going to try to go two at a time because we've already got a queue already. If you joined us late or if you weren't here in person, Alexander Rossi and Callum Ilott have been here. But first, I'm going to welcome one of my co-workers up to the stage, a nine-time veteran. I'm giving him status for 10, though, because he qualified for 10 Indianapolis 500s, former pole winner, six-time IndyCar racer, the mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, everybody. And the driver of the number 24 polka dot Chevrolet for Dryden Reinbold and Cusick Motorsports, it's Connor Daly. How are you? We haven't talked at all this month.
I haven't talked to you in hours, man. What's going on? Thanks, everybody, for coming out. That's a great turnout, guys. Thank you so much for being here.
It's fun to be here. Nice location, nice and convenient, and hopefully for the drivers, you can kind of sneak in the back gate or drive over. How are you, Connor?
Great. Feeling great. It was a wonderful day. A little bit warm, but that's probably good because race day, we usually show up and it's like 1,000 degrees, and it's a very difficult day, but we need these conditions, so it was nice. Nice to get out there and get some running in.
Any chance of sketchy moments on a day like today? Because I'm always worried about high probability. I'm always worried about this day and carb day. If you damage anything, it doesn't bode well.
Well, I saw some sketchiness. I mean, one in today for me personally, and I think every driver has a bit of a different scenario going on. But like 1 and 2 felt like you were going to die every time. 3, 4 felt wonderful. So two completely different tracks. And that's kind of the weirdness of this place sometimes. Like 1 and 2, you're just saving your life. 3, 4, you're trying to attack out of 4 into 1. So that was the scenario for today. The winds obviously were pretty stout tailwind to 3, so that's kind of why. But it was good. I mean, honestly, I think I thought people were going to be way more angry after today because of how hot it was. But it seemed like a lot of people are like enthused about their race cars. I'm sure there are a lot of people who hate everything, but I was enthused, so I was excited.
I appreciate the polka dot car. I can see it from turn 4. What do you think about a polka dot car?
Well, my polka dot Chevrolet is very fast, so I enjoy it quite a lot. We got a great program with Dreyer Reinbold and good teammate Ryan Hunter-Reay. You know, being with him as well has been awesome. So Dennis has brought 2 cars and to this track that are very competitive. One, obviously, in the Fast 12, we were getting there until one small thing affected us. But we don't do any other races, and we show up, and we're in the top half of the field. Ryan's in the top half of the field, so that's pretty impressive. It just goes to show the caliber of people that are in that organization, and we appreciate Chevrolet as well. Chevrolet has been an incredible partner of our team to kind of get us to where we're at. So Dennis for sure could run a full time team. So he's probably smart not doing it currently without the proper financial support. But that guy and the people in that team are fantastic.
I was going to ask Hinch if there were any sketchy moments in the NBC booth today. Any?
I wasn't there. It was good.
Anytime Townsend's in the booth, there's sketchy moments. I think that's just an accepted thing. But no, it's been great, man. I mean, we have done 4,684 hours of coverage for you guys over the month. Hopefully, you guys are all watching on Peacock. We appreciate that certainly. But it was fun to watch today, man. I mean, I'm kind of with you. You talk about you were expecting more drivers to be upset after today with track temps at 123. I thought the exact same. There was going to be screaming on the radio, no runs more than 10 laps. But instead, we got drivers on their first run doing full fuel stints. I thought that the cars were all following closer than what we would see in 100-degree track temps at 123. This gives me a lot of confidence that the race is going to be pretty competitive, pretty close. You feel the same?
I hope so. I mean, I think the once you get into race mode, like the actual race, and you start seeing when everyone's on the same tire life, on that first stint, you kind of then can identify who is going to struggle, who's going to have a pretty good day. But yeah, today, I mean, you could definitely tell that there were some cars struggling for sure. And the cars that are good, though, are like very blatantly, obviously good.
Who's good?
The Penske cars are very good. Sorry, folks, but they are very good. I'm sure there are a couple other good McLarens as well. Alex Rossi looks very fast. I don't know if you've heard of him, but a nice fella. Yeah. He's pretty good at the driving stuff. But yeah, I think you're going to see a very, very competitive top 10. Now, does that mean there will be a ton of overtaking in the top 10 because everyone is so good? I hope so. 1 and 2 can pass each other all day long, right? If you're second car in line, you could pass cars all day long. Third car even, I saw a couple of those guys making moves. So once it gets a little deeper than that, it does seem like no matter who you're following. Like I was following the 14 car. We know that's a good car. Santino's been really fast. And like we were deep in the pack and like we couldn't do anything. So that's when it gets a little bit more aggressive and more interesting. But that's kind of the fun of this race. You got to make yourself uncomfortable to get through that stage of the middle of the pack, and then once you get to the front, life is great.
Because you've been getting so good at this and we still don't understand, I need you to explain the blockchain again and what Polkadot does.
No one wants to hear that, honestly.
Web 3, I'm sorry.
We'll figure it out later, but there's a QR code on our hero cards. If you get it, just scan that
awesome.
And it tells you everything.
And it will explain it.
That's marketing. You just put a link and that'll tell you everything you need to know. But it's a whole different world that I've excited to learn about. And honestly, they've been the most, like, it was one of the biggest deals that I've ever done in my career. So really excited to be a part of the Polkadot community.
So I'm behind on 100 days to Indy. They asked me a lot of questions about you this time around. Have you been in yet? I haven't seen episode 4.
My episode is next week.
This Friday.
No, yeah.
This
Friday.
6 episodes.
Yeah.
So this Friday.
So apparently me and Scott Dixon are this coming episode. And
that's right. They asked me to compare compare you and Scott Dixon?
Well, that's
what
easy.
What was your answer? Same?
That's easy.
Same?
Success?
Said, yeah.
Not.
Basically the same guy. They're both gingers and like,
super,
you know,
ginger. One is old. One is like getting there. One has diabetes. That's, one doesn't.
That's some gray in the beard there, bro. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. I need to shave it. I need to get some cut going. Yeah. Boy, that couldn't be a more polar opposite. I'm sorry if you had to actually answer that question.
I think I had an answer.
For the record, for those listening on the radio, because people can't see you, you are Connor Daly.
That's me.
You are James Hinchcliffe, Kevin Lee, and Kurt Cavan here on Trackside. So what about those Penskes? What do we expect? Do we expect them to play nice? What do you think? Because I don't know where this is going.
Rossi said no.
I mean, I'll
tell you what he said.
I mean, a little animosity there between the old bus bros. I don't think they're many bros anymore, but they might be bus haters. I don't know, but it's I can see all three of those guys just wanting to be the best, obviously, because they are very good racing drivers. But I think they are going to be very, very, very hard to beat. Looking at how easy those cars were to drive for four laps, a mile an hour faster than everyone else, that's super impressive. And it doesn't matter what you think of him or the operation, but they've done a lot of work, and they partnered with Foyt, obviously, and Michael Cannon, which I'm surprised they didn't thank them a little bit more or maybe shout out them, but that was kind of odd. But yeah, they're very good. So it'll take some strategy. It'll take some, you know, good racing. Everyone's very good in this event, so it'll be cool to see.
I took a screenshot of it. Maybe you remember, Hinch. What's the part that Will Power is talking about? That
The push rods.
The push rods. And I asked a couple of people to try to explain that to me today. So they were using the new push rod, and the old one is better.
I did not know that was a thing, honestly.
Do you understand this at all?
I understand what he's saying. It's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been out of the game for a couple of years, but they've been slow in qualifying for longer than that. I refuse to believe there's been something as simple as a spec part that you change to an old iteration.
There's a lot more than that from the Foyt partnership. There's
cool on the push rods, but that ain't it.
Yeah.
So I asked an engineer with another team, and he agreed with that assessment. He said that we all could see what they were doing and knew why they were struggling for outright speed in qualifying, and that is one thing. Mm. I love Colton Herta's quote. That's a pretty good way to hire Michael Cannon.
Yeah, I mean, Michael's a wizard. I like Michael a lot, he's got a big brain.
So let me give you one more stat, since we're talking about the Penskes. Over the last 4 years, they've led 25 laps in this race. 25 of the last 4 years.
I've led more than that. Shoot.
That's what I was going to get to.
No one gets a trophy for that, though.
The Ganassi boys have led nearly 400.
That makes sense.
Nearly half. How come we're not talking about them? Well, because you're talking about you. But
No. I mean, think about Alex Palou's dominance, really, the last – like, Alex Palou was super good last year, right? Issue in the pits. Scott Dixon, issue in the pits when, you know, probably two of the last 3 years he could have won that race for sure. So, I mean, it's just – this race, you have to be perfect. Everything has to go right. You got to get a little lucky. You got to get everything to go your way. So, Ganassi will win again. It's because they're always good. So this year, though, I will say they are surprisingly not on the pace, which is kind of wild. Yeah. That has been the biggest surprise, I think, for the whole month of May. But Alex Palou looks insane in race trim, so I'm sure he's going to be at the front all day long. But is it enough to beat the Chevys? I don't know.
Hey, by the way, Connor Daly has basically donated his brands to help raise money for the Cancer Center. So he's partnered with Cluster Truck, and Cluster Truck has some signed Connor Daly stuff over there.
Boom.
And you can order the Connor Daly burger now through race day, and 20% goes to the Cancer Center. So walk over there, and they'll help you explain how to order.
It is charitable and delicious.
Yeah,
I promise you that.
It has barbecue on it.
Nope. Yeah, a lot of barbecue on there, a little bit of spice, and it makes everything nice. So
Connor Daly, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
The number 24 polka dot car. And because he gets asked this as we walk through the garage all the time, James Hinchcliffe. Cutcliffe is not retired. He is an active IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship driver in a Porsche McLaren, and he has already raced at Daytona and Sebring, and we'll see him at least Petit Le Mans and Road Atlanta, maybe more next year, right?
Absolutely.
Still very busy.
Still very busy, working too much with this guy, but that's how it goes. And yeah, a few more races on the calendar, I think, for 25, so looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, Hinch. James Hinchcliffe, everybody. Connor Daly. Next up, we're going to bring up a group together because I know they have all somewhere to be. So I saw the Ed Carpenter Racing drivers. They already left? Well, they were here. So thank you to Renus VK and Christian Rasmussen that were here. They got pictures. That's great.
There's
I saw the Hunkos. Here's Renus right there. Yeah, Renus has got to go. Everybody's got a tight. Thank you for coming over. Greatly appreciated. Renus starting seventh in the Indy 500. Christian Rasmussen really looked good today in practice, and he has won championships at everything he's been in. I saw Hunkos Hollinger drivers here. Augustine Canapino, multi-time champion in Argentina and one of the fastest guys here this month. And Formula One veteran, 10 podiums, 9 podiums, 9 or 10 podiums, 10, I'm not going to short him. Several in IndyCar as well, 77 Chevrolet, Romain Grosjean. Thank you for coming over.
Yeah, thank you, too. Thank you for having us.
So how has your month been so far, Augustine?
Pretty good, really good. Hello, everybody. We had a good session today, so I'm really happy with the progression we are making since the last week. Unfortunately, you saw the problem I had on the last run on the qualifying. But anyway, I think we have a good car for the race. We can do a good Sunday, I think.
We have gone 15 minutes into this radio show and 45 minutes in the program, and we have not said plenum event, so that's good. But that's one of those little turbo fires or whatever it is that he was one of many.
It was more than one of those little things that happened.
Well, it's a real big thing at the time.
What were the words you used? Because we couldn't understand all those words that you used on your team radio when things went awry.
You don't understand?
I understand screaming, yeah.
I thought to say that in Spanish, but I think I did a combination.
No, there were no bad words, at least in English. It was just...
I only say I can't believe it. No more.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
I was light.
Hey, he was fourth on the speed chart today. Is that correct? Fourth?
Yeah.
So we're off and running. You both have good cars.
Yeah, yeah. I think we are improving. It's not easy for us, like a small team, but we are improving. Like I say many times, for us, giving Romain in the team is a good step forward. The team is growing this year, so I think we are doing a good job and trying to improve every time.
I thought you would ask a question, so I gave him the mic. How has your month been so far, Romain?
It's been all right, in all fairness. I think qualifying, the car didn't have much speed, so I was not as happy as Augustine. Today, though, I think I was fastest no-toe speed, so that was good. The race car felt really, really good and tricky conditions. You know, I think the tarmac was 120 degrees today, so that's as hot as it really gets. So if you're happy on a day like today, you should be all right for the weekend. So now we just wait and see. We've got another one Friday, but I'm just, you know, going to fine-tune it, polish it, but don't change much.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, where in your career have you had like simulations like today? These are like race day type conditions, or at least it seems to the outside viewers that this is pretty much race like. Did you ever have a series where you had sessions that were like this, like race day?
Well, I think Formula One, we do it. Formula One, the way you work the weekend is for free practice. Two is normally a normal run, then you go on a soft tire for a qualifying run with low fuel, 20 kilos ish. And then you put the full fuel tank, 110 kilos, and you go for a run. So when you go into the race in Formula One, you actually have a lot more ideas what you're going to get than in IndyCar. Because, you know, we have the warm-up in IndyCar, but it's just in the morning. It's cold. We never know. We never get to do as many laps as we want on the tires, so we don't know about the degradation. Here, for sure, it's great to have the months. It's great that we had a cold week last week. We have a hot day today. Let's see Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we just adjust for the day and hope that the car works well on their day.
Aside from the race, what do you like most about being at Indy during these couple weeks? We used to call it the month, but what do you like best about being here this month?
I think I just I like the fact that we're superstar in Indianapolis, IndyCar drivers. So that's pretty cool. We get to play golf at the Brickyard whenever we want. There's actually a nice gym in the administrative building. There's a nice gym that we've got access to. Speedway's Main Street is really nice in Speedway. I'm just, you know, enjoying time away from the normal duty at home. I miss my kids and my wife a lot, but I don't miss the homework and all of that things that you have to do. Don't tell her. But the 4 to 7 p.m., I don't miss it.
So I was driving into the track on Monday, last Monday, the day that nothing was happening, like noon or so, and I'm pulling into the tunnel, and there you are rolling up through the tunnel, going out on a bike ride. That doesn't seem safe to me, riding down the public streets on the bikes.
You know, I go with the philosophy in life that we have a destiny and that I'm not going to stop doing things that I love because they're dangerous. I race cars, I fly planes, I ride my bikes. And yes, they could be, you know, they could be people being on the mobile phone and not looking where they're going, but I could also be walking towards the restaurant and someone crashing into me. So fair I'm enough. Like, well, I'm going to do what I like doing and as much take care as much as I can, but stop. I will not stop living.
And you're going faster than I am anyway, so you're actually kind of going with traffic. That's my challenge. I'm not going fast enough. And then
you come with me.
I'll start training as well. Augustine, I want you to explain to people, so those that maybe, I think most of you are paying attention, but what he has done, I find remarkable. It's similar to what McLaughlin has done, coming over from driving touring cars, and he's on Team Penske. It's a little quicker learning curve. You are with a smaller team, and you were competitive last year. You've taken another step this year. What has that challenge been like after doing something totally different for 15 to 20 years?
Everything, especially because imagine you for this event, we have 37 set of tires. And this is the amount I am using in 2 years in my series in Argentina, because I only have one set per weekend. So imagine you, it's completely different, touring cars. I never drove before an open wheel car. So it's a new life. I have to speak English for the first time in my life.
Started a year and a half ago, by the way.
Everything completely different. So for me, it's a new life. I am living the American dream, maybe. But I am really happy to have this opportunity. For me, this place is unique. I saw my entire life in television. So now, the last year I was P13 before the crash, only with a lap to go. Unfortunately, this year my big goal is try to see the checkered flag. It is in a good result, much better. But my goal for this event is try to see the checkered flag.
What do you like most? You've been living in Indianapolis area for a year and a half. What do you like most about Indy?
I don't know. Everything is completely different. Imagine you coming from South America, Argentina. The culture, the people, everything is completely different. I am enjoying everything. The only thing I'm not enjoying, I don't like, is the weather on the winter here.
We don't either.
It's very cold, oh my God. And the food, I miss the Argentinian food, but the other thing are amazing here.
What have you enjoyed most about America?
Good question. I mean, it's not an easy one, because, you know, it's like it was telling you what you enjoy most about Europe, and then you have Finland, and then Greece, and then France, and Portugal. If you think of a map, America is, USA is as big as the whole Europe. So, you know, when you go to the West Coast or come here, Midwest, I mean, people in the Midwest are the best. It's so friendly. Miami, I love the weather. I love the culture. And I like a little bit less Los Angeles, but I have to go to San Diego. That I would like to visit that, Boston, New Orleans.
Yeah.
So quite a few beats to discover, but for sure the Midwest has been a nice, more welcoming one.
I know you all have somewhere to be. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us. Romain Grosjean, Augustine Canapino, Juncos Hollinger Racing, Chevrolets, the 77 and 78 cars. Look closely, they look very nearly identical, but they're both quick, both very fine gentlemen. Hey, Santino Ferrucci is here, so Santino's going to sign a couple of things. We're going in order of the queue, so both together, perfect. Yeah, he was trying to cut you there. I wasn't going to let that happen. Yeah. Yeah, come on up. Hey, we have an Indy 500 winner here. Ryan Reinbold, Cusick Motorsports. The number 23 car. It's Ryan Hunter-Reay. And driving the famous number 14 for AJ Foyt, Santino Ferrucci. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us out here.
Right yeah, on. Thank you for coming.
Always good to be at the Burger Bash. Can tell you
thanks,
that.
Thanks for letting me join you.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on up. More the merrier.
Ryan is one of those that I think you might have been here the year that you won the race. That's kind of how this all got started.
Yes, that's why the only reason why I came
back. Of course. Honestly, well, Scott Dixon was our only guest in 2008 in a very small impromptu gathering, and he won.
Wow.
So that was kind of a good omen, so we used that.
And the second year, the special guest was Dan Weldon, and he finished second and at the banquet then said, boy, it's a good thing I didn't win, or the whole field would have been back at the Burger Bash next year.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd have had winners one and two first 2 years. But we've moved around a lot of locations. This is our fifth location, and this being on the air in Indianapolis, so people are driving by. If you're on the roundabout, give a wave out. How was today? Today always looks sketchy to me. Looks like race day. Does it feel like race day?
Yeah, I mean, well, first, thank you guys all for coming out. You guys are what make this event so special, this event. Burger Bash is cool, too, trust me.
Secondary,
It was, it was a handful out there today. Especially the first half, I was not happy. I was really loose through 1-2, turns 1 and 2, and I used about 4 times the amount of energy that I would have in a 2-hour practice because it was so loose. I didn't breathe through 1 and 2 for the first half the session, and then we made it way better. Car way better. I was very happy at the end, so really, really thankful for ending on a high note. How'd it go for you?
Man, it was definitely up and down. I mean, we barely ran all week long, so we had no idea. We finally tuned the cube car to something good, and we were like, hey, let's just put the racing stuff on it and go, and it was close. We had a hooky rear, and when I say hooky, for everybody that understands, it's not like a loose slide where you were probably having. I was coming off the corner, and the car just wanted to keep turning in without the slide, so it was really, it was interesting. It wasn't sketchy, but it was definitely not fun.
Yeah, it was a handful. In the big packs of cars with the turbulent air, it was, you didn't know. The tough part is when the car's doing that, it's wild. I mean, we're out there doing, and into the corner doing 230 or whatever, and every time you're doing it through 1 and 2, you don't know what you're going to get. It's like, okay, here's, you know, spin the wheel, see what happens, and you come through, and it straightens up on you, and then it does the big push, and it's just it's not a fun feeling when you can't have that predictability in what the car is going to do, especially when you're tucked up under somebody's gearbox going to the corner. So we made that a lot better, but yeah, it was busy out there today. It was just constant, nonstop action, and like you said, you hadn't run, right? I think I did under 90 laps coming into
I'm probably right there with you. Yeah. And, you know, today I think I ran almost the entire 2 hours. I mean, it's incredible. So it's weird, though, switching from race or Q to race, because I didn't realize that when we were out there on our outlap, because we were, you know, everyone, we all changed mixtures and things to Q to isolate and to maximize the power. And we were talking about, because someone asked me about the speed of the cars, right? I didn't realize we were doing 210 on the warm-up, because 210 out here feels like 25 through the roundabout.
Yeah, no doubt.
Out there. So when they were like, yeah, you think you can like one hand the switch in the middle of two? And I was like, oh yeah, we're doing like 140. And they're like, no, it's like 210, 215. I was like, oh, okay, I'll still be able to do it.
It's definitely a big difference. Coming from the added boost, qualifying trim, right into race trim, all the downforce on. And it takes a second to recalibrate your brain to
Checking up for people.
Yeah, checking up for people, and just how you enter the corner. It all comes so much quicker, even though you're talking about, 10, 12 miles an hour with the added boost. It just, the whole track kind of changes in the visuals of it.
You both can answer this question, because you're not with Ganassi or Penske or McLaren in the budgets that they have, but you both made the Firestone Fast 12. So you out-qualified all of the Ganassis and some of the others from these other teams. What's the pride level with Ryan Reinbold and Cusick, Ryan, to be able to do that?
I mean, it's unreal. These guys, you know, this is a one-off. So we are the only one-off in the whole field. Obviously, Santino's driven for them before. He has a lot of respect for that team as well. I know he'd want to be there if he wasn't with AJ full season. So and he's done a great job establishing the foundation there. And it's a bunch of guys that are really, really well qualified, work really hard all year, and this is what they focus on. And it really does have its advantages to just focus on this one race. The disadvantage is that when you get into the race and the race weekend, practice, when things get a little hectic and everything, that's the first time you're kind of going through that with the group all year, and that's where you kind of have to learn as a group. But man, making the Fast 12 for that team, for us, it's I feel like we should have. Do you guys have a small trophy or anything for us?
Honestly, knowing those guys and how hard they work, though, like, I was so proud to see you guys qualified in. Because also, you got to hustle that car around to get into the Fast 12, and it's not, you know, it's nothing. It's no small feat. You know, when you're there to that little extra bit to make it in versus not making it in, the driver really does play a part, because it's how much you want to trim and how much you want to lay it on the line. And you know, Dreyer for us at Foyt, we only have one car.
Right.
We can't just, you know, roll another one out like the big teams.
That's a great point.
All right, guys, whoops, let's go again.
But I appreciate your text too. You know, you texted the team owners, managers, and myself as well, and said congrats on that. So that was really cool.
Dude, but they added some jumps. I mean, all these guys do the Nitro Rallycross. Right, so all the electric jump. If they added jumps down the speedway, this team would be in the lead by
the
far.
Jumps.
I mean, like, without a doubt, I'd put my money there. But it is a very smooth track. But no, both our crews, I mean, they work tirelessly to build these two race cars just for this event. So my car is Indy only. It's, you know, I run it here and that's it. It's not even a backup car for me. So, you know, it's amazing what a small group of 6-7 individuals can really do to put their minds and, you know, their brains together and to build these cars for us to just go pound around for what's fun for us most of the time.
No doubt. And like you mentioned, though, that's a really good point, is that every decision you make when you are a team like this is that When you're trimming the car out and you're taking risks, everything has to be calculated in that. If you do compromise this car, the full likelihood is that you're going to be in a Marcus Ericsson situation where you're in a backup car and you're trying to make the race at that point.
It's rough. I mean, even look at Nolan. I mean, he's a great kid, fantastic driver. He had an unfortunate issue coming out of two, which, look, we've all hit the wall.
Yeah.
As my old teammate Sebastian Bourdais would say, it's not if, it's just when.
Just when.
And, it's one of those things to where you really are super calculated in everything that you do at the Speedway. There's no second chances.
Hey, real good cause I want to mention that Santino is involved again with the number 14, Homes for Troops. So look that up. They are building homes for veterans. ABC Supply has essentially donated the side of the car. And real quick, do you know the whole Taylor Sheridan story with your car?
No, I'm kidding. Yes.
The creator of Yellowstone, one of the stars in the show.
Yep.
The 4-6's Ranch.
Yep.
Real quick, I know I'm like 8 minutes behind on a break, but I think this is cool, and I hear there's a chance he's coming to the race.
Yeah, it is really cool. You know, 4-6's Ranch, obviously Yellowstone fans.
It's where they sent Jimmy.
So it's really cool to bring two different industries together like that in such a popular, such a popular show. And, the car, the 23, is all about Taylor Sheridan's 4-6's Ranch, which is where a lot of Yellowstone was shot, but all their partners also, and all their different companies, 101 Studios, who I have on my hat, who actually shot all the Yellowstone footage and all the prequels that came out, and many more things that I can't really name right now because I'm not fully aware of what they are.
A lot of the stuff on Paramount. They did several other Paramount
shows. Yes, many of them. Can you list them for me?
Did they do the Sylvester Stallone show?
Yes, that sounds
Tulsa
good.
King?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So.
For someone that races a Chili Bowl every year and goes to Tulsa for like 2 weeks of their life when it's miserably cold in the winter and -5.
Sounds awesome.
With dirt fumes and exhaust and all sorts of other things and Frito pies. It is, like, so accurate, though.
Really?
I mean, it is, like, I watched the show, and I was like, oh, my God. People from Tulsa are going to hate this because it's so true. But it is so good. I mean, it is just so funny.
Well, that's cool.
I'm also a big Stallone fan.
That's cool. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Santino Ferrucci, number 14 for A.J. Foyt. Brian Hunter-Reay, number 23. Brian Reingold, Cusick Motorsports, set for the 108th Indianapolis 500. Come and join us. We're in Speedway, 16th and Crawfordsville, the roundabout. It's Gate 1. It's the Burger Bash on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Are they good?
Welcome back to the Burger Bash, delivered by Cluster Truck, live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It is now race week. Everybody give yourselves a hand for joining us today, getting ready for the greatest race in the world. Thank you for joining us on live radio. If you're near the area, we have parking just west of the admin building. Put gate one or main gate in your Google Maps, and then just keep going on Crawfordsville. On the west side of the admin building, lots of free parking right there. This is a free event, and you can order food while you're here. And we're going to tell you to do that. Kurt Cavan is here. I'm Kevin Lee.
Kurt Cavan is sampling the Cluster Truck. I have to say, my first Cluster Truck burger, it will not be my last of the week, let alone ever.
Which one did you try?
I tried the Jackson Lee burger. I
awesome.
Like the queso and the onion strings on it. I like onions on my burger, but not heavy onions. So these are good.
Awesome. Evan Sherrill is here from Cluster Truck. First of all, thank you for donating pretty much everything that's going for our sponsors and our VIPs, and then providing for the rest of our crowd here today and donating back to the Cancer Center. So just kind of explain to Cluster Truck, if there's anyone that's not familiar, what it is, how it works, and how they can enjoy your fine food.
Absolutely. So Cluster Truck is a delivery and pickup only kitchen. We have three locations here in Indianapolis, downtown Indy, Castleton, and Broad Ripple. We serve everywhere from Fountain Square up through Carmel, out east to Little Flower, and we are delivering to the IMS for the month of May, especially for the Burger Bash. It's free delivery everywhere, and right now we have three bomb burgers, like Kurt just said, on the menu. The Jackson Lee Burger, the Kevin Bowen Burger, and of course the Connor Daly Burger. And 20% of the proceeds from that are going back to the IU Simon Cancer Center, which I am very, very proud of.
That is fantastic. Anyone that is here can go over to the Cluster Truck tent if you don't want to mess with the app, but we would encourage you to do that as well. I'm really trying to get someone to open a franchise in Avon. That's my next
Need
goal.
It. We so have someone, to have it.
So someone that wants an investment will help you out there. Otherwise, though, you can pick up. So say you're going to be downtown for something, you can pick up at one of your different locations. At least twice a year. Twice
you
a year.
That on a Monday to Friday?
Not yet.
Here
this month.
For the month of May, you can. Absolutely.
Yeah. This was your chance.
Working on getting out here. You know, we're looking for franchisee partners. So if you know somebody that wants to open up in Speedway, we'd love to talk with them.
Okay.
So that is awesome. We thank you for everything you guys are doing. We're going to talk more a little later on the show. Thank you, Evan.
Thank you.
Cluster Truck, thanks for their support of the Burger Bash. Also, I really want to thank Republic Airways, one of our key partners here, for their donation to the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, the Indiana Soybean Alliance, Indiana Corn Marketing Council, Awning Partners Manufacturing Group, APMG, Steve Summer and his group, I think are here tonight. I've not met Steve yet, so I want to say hi at the end of the show. Hi, Steve. Thanks for supporting. Scott Borchetta wrote a check for us, and all he said is, I want you to tell people about the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. That is coming up at Nashville Super Speedway. So what sometimes is a negative, yes, we're not super excited that the street race didn't come to plans like they hoped, but a lot of people would like to see more oval racing. There you got it. The finale is on a mile and a third oval in Nashville.
Yeah, I think everybody in this market loves the idea of being back on an oval. You know, I grew up as an oval guy because of this place behind us. Again, wave if you're on the roundabout out there. People are driving by saying, those guys are talking to me. But I grew up as an oval guy, and I love Nashville Super Speedway. Just about a half an hour east of downtown Nashville, you can stay downtown and still get out to the racetrack.
And there is a QR code over here somewhere if you want to get ticket information. You can sign up for tickets. Where is the QR code? Probably by our silent auction. There are several different tables where you can find the QR code to buy tickets for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, and over on this side as well. Oh, I also, before I forget, sign up to support cancer research. People that love racing hate cancer. They're not asking for money in this case. They'll take it, but really in this case, they really just want people that are interested in sharing information, finding out how you can help. Our Bricks to Beat Cancer campaign is going on, so just sign up with your email and you can sign with a Brick
Rick over here. Root and Bone in Broad Ripple. James Hinchcliffe is a partner. It is fantastic. I have been there many times to the one here and the one in Chesterton. Thanks to Tom Collins for supporting the events.
Have you paid yet? Or have you gone?
I have.
Okay, you actually paid for your dinner.
I have paid for some of the dinners, not all of the dinners. California Closets has been a great partner to this event for their donation. And also, thanks to Basic Needs Simple Solutions. Where's Mark Lynch? Come over here real quick, Mark. Tell me what Basic Needs Simple Solutions does. This is the Vice President, Emeritus and Active, because he's been here since the beginning, Mark Lynch.
Right, and I think the President is now Stacey Lee. We should give it up for her as well, this organization she's done, as well as the whole Lee family. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, Basic Needs Simple Solutions, we just do basic needs projects. In the third world country, we do water and air and shelter. Here in the city, we work with the City of Indianapolis, the Indy Hunger Network, as well as Gleaners, Midwest Food Bank, and others. So thank you for your support, and you guys always have been great to us. So
we could not do the Burger Bash. We would not do the Burger Bash without Mark. And also thank you to the UPS store, Stafford Road in Plainfield. They've been good supporters of Jackson Lee and also did our printing and made a donation to the Cancer Center here tonight. So.
And thank you for continuing to talk. I could eat a part of my burger while you were talking. So wait
this
a second.
This is going to be reciprocal here in a little bit. It would be my hope, because every year I miss getting a chance to eat. It's been back in the old days. I used to kind of sneak a shake in. Was about the best I've been able to do. So I am ready. So that is coming up in a little bit. We are going to have more guests in a little while, talk more about what we're here for, and just really recap qualifying, preview the Indy 500. It's all coming up. Trackside live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway tonight.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Life can be pretty busy, but when you become a Kroger Boost member, it's like getting a savings superpower. With unlimited free delivery, you'll save time and money, up to $650 to be exact. You'll keep saving with exclusive member offers and 2x fuel points every time you shop. Sign up for a 30-day free trial of Boost from Kroger to unlock your savings superpower today. No cape required. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Once upon a time. Forget the fairy tales and get ready to journey past the stars, beyond imagination, to a place where we really do defy gravity. A place where flying through space at 24,500 miles per hour is less about make-believing and more about making it happen. A place with real rockets, real astronauts, and real adventure. Discover something real. Only at Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Bet365 Command Center, which is today at the world's greatest race course, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is Trackside, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan. Brand new venue just outside Gate 1. And we are still in hour number one of a two-hour program tonight on the show. And we saw 2 hours of practice today at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And really the first real practice that we've seen the entire month.
Well, they spend time working on qualifying sessions and getting ready for qualifying. It's such a big deal. Ask Graham Rahal a year ago. Ask him this year. Ask others as well. Nolan Siegel didn't didn't make it. But, you know, it's so important to make the race and to qualify up front. A lot of prestige with being in the Fast 12. So they spend more time with that than you would realize. And then we lost some time early in the week. So it was important for everybody to kind of get out there. We call it an all skate, a chance for people to do things in the race time that they would do, you know, during the race. So a very simulated race, if you will, without some of the risk. But we saw some drivers hanging it out on the outside. I had a chance to talk to Kyle Larson today. He was on the outside of Scott McLaughlin. A little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
A little bit. Kyle didn't think it was sketchy. He said, I backed out of it. But I don't think he'll do that on race day. So that'll be a thing to watch.
Christian Rasmussen was here a little while earlier. Unfortunately, we had too long of a line and we didn't get him up here. But I wanted to ask him about going around the outside of Colton Herta and hanging in there. So that was really interesting, too. So that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. We're going to recap. We're going to a break in just a moment. Stingray Rob, do you have 5 minutes, Stingray? So Stingray Rob is going to be our next guest coming up in just a moment from AJ Foyt Racing. In the meantime, Stingray, we could get him to come over to the car and take a couple of pictures as well. Stingray is getting set for his second Indianapolis 500. So coming up in the next hour, we'll talk with another driver, and we're going to do like we would normally do on our show, talk amongst ourselves, recap qualifying, start to look at the race, and get some questions from the audience. In the meantime, we'll continue to enjoy the food provided by Cluster Truck. And also, oh, by the way, thanks to Aramark as well. They've set up the bar for us and made things available here tonight. So in case you've been at the track all day and want to continue to hydrate, you can do that as well. Hour two coming up. It's the Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between. Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
You're listening to Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Burger Bash, delivered by Cluster Truck from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It is a bonus hour of Trackside. We're into hour number two tonight from the world's greatest race course, officially starting race week for the 108th Indianapolis 500. Kurt Cavan, Kevin Lee, and Stingray Rob, the driver of the number 41 car for AJ Foyt Racing, is with us for his second Indianapolis 500. You don't have the sponsor on your shirt. I would have gone with that because you just changed. It has been pray.com, and you changed it, and I have it written down, and I did get you a mention for that on television. Good Health Animal Vets?
Good Heart.
Good Heart Animal Vets.
Yep. Yep, that's them.
So tell us what they do.
Well, does anyone have pets? Dogs, cats?
James Hinchman does. Brought his, yeah.
So if you guys look at the back wing on my race car, it says, "We love pets." I like pets. Hopefully you like your own pets.
You love pets.
Love pets. Yeah. No, that's right. Good Heart, they're a veterinary clinic, and they're in the Colorado area. So if any of you are from Colorado, which I kind of doubt, but you should take your pets there. They have really good treatment for anyone that takes their pets in there. They want to give the families of each pet the best opportunity they have to heal them, but also just the hospitality and understanding, because a lot of times when you get a pet, a lot of people are first-time pet owners, and they don't have a lot of experience with it, and so they like to educate their clients as well as do the best to treat those that they bring in.
So if I can ask, why is it that, I mean, we see a lot of national brands. Why does a state-specific or an area-specific sponsor or business, why is it important for them to be in the Indy 500?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if you guys know this, but IndyCar is a relationship industry more than anything. We like to build relationships. And so the Good Heart connection kind of came about through a relationship. They were fans, actually, at Road America back in 2019, I think it was. So they've been on my car for nearly 5 years now. They've been supporters of me. They actually share the Rob last name, but not related, which is kind of crazy. We didn't know who they were before we met them at the racetrack. But, Kevin, you know, as your son Jackson is coming up, it takes funding to make it to the top ranks. And so they were part of that investment group that we had to get me here, and they continued the journey along with us. And so now it has become a big marketing tool for them, because what greater event than the Indy 500 to celebrate that on? So for them, it's a cool opportunity to be involved. And it's more of a B2B deal than it is necessarily a marketing deal. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on, but at the end of the day, it's a relationship that was built over time. And they love what I do, and I love what they do, and we like to support each other as much as we can.
There's no better, I think, platform than motorsports to entertain guests.
That's right.
Than a race. So, yeah, the sticker on the car, this is, you know, what I always tell everyone, is nice, but it's about the access that you can find in motorsports that you cannot find if you're a partner with the local football team or the basketball team, which, by the way, is great, but you're not standing out there for the jump ball.
That's right.
You are standing next to Stingray Rob as he puts his helmet on. And, by the way, you do have Good Heart on your hat, and that is a cool-looking hat.
And I actually have our secondary sponsor. You can see under the bill here is pray.com, and they were on the car with us for the first half of the year.
Yep.
And they've taken that secondary spot over now. So they're still with us, still on the journey with us, but just in a smaller role.
So let's talk big picture now. You are someone like everyone that your family has worked so hard to get this opportunity, and you've won at every level to get here. You won the what was then called the Indy Pro Championship. You finished second in the Indy Lights Championship, and now you're here in IndyCar, and you're racing in the biggest race in the world, but you're still a really young guy. What is that like? I know it's not year one, but I'm going to guess it's still, this is really cool.
Yeah, I'm still getting my rookie stripes, it feels like, every day I'm at the racetrack. This year has actually been a lot cleaner of a year, but it hasn't shown on paper, which is frustrating because as a driver, I get to see the behind the scenes, but I want to show people the results of our hard work during the off season. And so we haven't had the results that really have aligned with the amount of work that has gone into what has been our off season and what we're capable of doing. So I'm hopeful that this week can point us in that direction and show people what we really got. 23rd is where we're going to roll off for the grid, but I know we got a better car than that. So I'm confident. I'm excited to see what we can do. I have a lot more confidence this year in the team around me as well as just in myself, understanding what it takes to be an IndyCar driver, just because you learn the hard way sometimes in this series, and it's super competitive, and every driver deserves to be here. There are no slouches in this series. So when you make a mistake, it pays big dividends to stay clean and not get those rookie stripes.
So Stingray Rob joins us, and you not only are participating in this event, you live in this community now. Yeah. You're from Idaho. It does make a difference coming to Indiana. Same first letter, but everything else is different.
We also have corn there every once in a while. So.
You have corn.
Yeah.
What do you like about being in town? I mean, this is your chance to
What do you like? What's cool about living in Indy?
Well, I am now engaged to a local native Indianan. Is that
Hoosier.
How you say it? Hoosier, that's right.
We'll forgive you because Hoosier doesn't make sense to Hoosiers.
Yeah,
either.
I don't get it.
We don't know
great
what it
movie,
is.
Great movie, though.
Yeah.
Great movie. No, but I have selected my native ticket in. So now I'm going to be getting married here November 10th, which is kind of cool.
Oh, very nice.
So,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Breaking news.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. But as far as the city goes, I always tell people it feels like a little big city. Because you have all the amenities of a big city. You have the wonderful sports teams. You have Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You have all of the festivities that go on in a big city. But I'll be walking downtown and run into 10 people I know on any given day. And everyone is very passionate about the community. And it seems like they all rally together in a good way. One of my favorite things last year that I got to experience was the porch parties. And walking around downtown and seeing all the different porch parties with their favorite driver hanging in the window and everything else. And it's just really cool to see sort of the motorsport fans and how passionate they are about not only the city, but about what we're doing in this city.
Yeah. So let's get back to the racetrack. When I saw you after practice today, it kind of felt like it was opening day in some ways. It was like it's
Absolutely.
Tuesday. This is the first full 2 hours of practice preparing for the race that we've had. Where are you at in that development, and how important does this make Carb Day compared to what it was normally?
Yeah, I think, well, in my many years of experience.
Yeah, I started to say in the past, so I'm just thinking, well, what is it normally like from your estimation?
From what I understand from other people with more experience than myself is usually there's a lot more track time, and you burn through every set of tires you got. I think we still have 20 sets of tires that we didn't get to use that we normally would have been able to use through the experience of all the days that we missed because of the rain delays. So as a driver, that's frustrating because I'm young. I don't know everything yet, but I want to learn. And I want to learn in a way that's safe and honestly smart, because you don't just decide to go 235 miles an hour. You have to work your way up to it and kind of earn it. You got to figure out how to get it done. And so for this place, there's big penalties if you make a mistake.
Yeah.
And at those speeds, with other cars on the racetrack, it can get pretty exciting. So I think that for us today was really good, because that 2 hours, we didn't get to be on track for the whole thing because we had a few more gremlins back at the garage, and so had to do a reset. But it allowed me to feel comfortable and confident in what I had as a package, as a car, because we didn't know before today. Today was, like you said, it was Tuesday. Yeah. And so we were starting fresh today after qualifying. And I think that we got some good data. My teammate, he was able to run all the laps that he needed to today, tried a few things. We didn't get all the test items checked off that we wanted to. But if I'm honest, the Foyt team's done a very good job last year. We saw that. And so we have data to pull from that. The tire compounds are a little bit different this season, but we've seen the trends based off the data that we've seen from our alliance with Team Penske. And so I think we're going to have a pretty good package on race day. But getting that timing right to make a pass and work my way through the field, that's been the hardest part, because, like I said, everyone here is very good at what they do, and it's a very, very tight group of drivers this year.
We know none of your friends on the racetrack. Aside from Santino, that would be the obvious answer. Who's your best friend in the paddock?
Well, right now my bus mates are Renus, VK, and Santino. And I came up through the ranks in karting with Renus, so I would like to see him do well. And he's probably one of my best friends here. Christian Rasmussen, another guy. He's my teammate just a couple years ago with Andretti Global in the Indy Next Series. So it's all, kind of all the same guys, right? We run around in the same circles just like any other sport, come up through the ranks together. So there's a lot of guys that I'm friends with and like to cheer on.
Is there a car maybe based on color that when you see it, it at least catches your attention maybe more than somebody else's?
Yes.
You got somebody in mind?
Is that because of the color scheme or because you're concerned?
Yes. You guys are trapping me here.
I'm just giving you the option. There's nobody listening except for that guy in that truck just drove on the roundabout. And he'd like to know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's some usual characters. I will say I've done a better job of making friends on the racetrack than Santino has this year. So.
Yes, yeah.
Do you worry about hanging around with him too much?
With Santino? I try not to align with him too much. I like to put the distance, draw the line in the sand. No. Santino's actually a great teammate. I've loved spending time with him this year, and he's a lot of fun. But he is just as entertaining on the track as he is off the track. And sometimes, yeah. You wonder if he's going to get the tail end of that bite every once in a while, because he doesn't like to make friends.
I noticed he got here after Grosjean left.
So yeah. just well, for those scoring at home.
I probably have some behind the scenes. I think that they've shaken on agreeing that they're not agreeing, but they're not going to do anything dumb. So I think that that's progress. We're talking about progress. So.
Well, I know this. Rossi and Grosjean get along fine now.
Yeah. And I think that you show each other respect a couple of times, things can change. So we'll see what the race is like on Sunday. I'm not going to hold my breath for it. I'm sure that they'll still come out with the claws. But we'll see. We'll see.
We're watching the that one and the X Bus Bros are the two we're watching.
There's some drama there.
Yeah. Yeah. Rossi said that, he's because they could control the race if they wanted to. Penske, 1, 2, 3 could just swap the lead back and forth. Everybody save fuel.
Nobody wants that.
Like the – don't want it, but it's the smart way to go about it, and that's what the Ganassis have done in the past. But, yeah, nobody's really sure if they can all get on the same page. They're all going to –
Well, and I think that if you look at all three of those drivers, they're fighting for who's going to be the top dog, who's going to be the A guy on the team, and they're trying to prove themselves, which is crazy because if you look at that lineup, they have nothing to prove compared to the rest of the paddock. So for me, I'm finding it entertaining just because I'm like, go get him, Joseph, go get him, Scott, and like seeing the big dogs go at each other, which is fun. And yeah, but it is entertaining, and I think that we're all – interested to see how Sunday goes, but I'm hopeful I'll be back up there with them at some point during the race, seeing what it's like in person.
Thanks for coming out. Go eat.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming out.
He's going to grab a photo with any little people. That's what he does. Stingray Rob, everybody.
Number 41 for A.J. Foyt in his second Indianapolis 500. So one of the reasons we're here tonight is, one, we want to kick off the week and have fun and continue the tradition of the Burger Bash, even though we changed locations, changed nights a little bit. The premise is the same. But we have always had a cause, and for the last several years, it has been the Indiana University Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, and the person that really got us all connected came to a Burger Bash 10 years or so ago for Basic Needs and Simple Solutions was our main charity component, and bought the night at Fast Times, and eventually we reconnected. Dr. Nasser Hanna, come on up for a minute. I want you to talk about why we're here and also something specifically you're involved with. My father was a victim of lung cancer, and this is one of the best oncologists in the world in lung cancer now is what he works with. Great to see you. It's race week. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you everybody for coming and supporting this event.
I'm going to give you your own microphone here. Take that one off there. And Dr. Hanna is a huge race fan, so this is your week, right? We see you at multiple races, and you're always here at Indy.
I love IndyCar. I remember in the 80s watching the tape replay on Memorial Day. Absolutely thrilling. And the first race I came to live in person was 2004. I saw that first lap and was absolutely hooked.
Wow.
And actually, it then went into a long rain delay for about 3 hours. That was, I think, Buddy Rice won that one.
Yes, he did. And there was a Pacer game that night, too, I remember, because I was trying to hustle to get to the Pacers game. I interviewed David Letterman, and then I was released and hustled down to somehow beat the Tornadoes. So explain to everyone what N Lung Cancer Now is and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, well, N Lung Cancer Now is part of the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, and you know, our vision is to end the suffering and death from lung cancer, and we think we can do so by preventative measures and screening measures and investing in research, and probably most importantly, to attacking the stigma and the guilt that is oftentimes associated with a lung cancer diagnosis. And so we've been pretty successful at achieving some of our missions, and we're very proud of the work that we're doing.
And some of the people you've helped are here tonight?
Yep, very proud. A number of my patients are here. I won't ask them to stand or to be recognized just to maintain their privacy, but some very special people here in the audience. And I imagine that many of you maybe have somebody you know who has cancer, or maybe you have cancer yourself. And I want you to know that you have a community that is very supportive of you. And the Simon Cancer Center there is definitely advocating for you. And if you have lung cancer, just know that you have a strong voice in End Lung Cancer Now. The key part of that is now. We are very impatient. We want to end the suffering and death from lung cancer.
And that's one of the things that I've learned more in the last few years working with the IU Simon Cancer Center is what a wonderful resource that we have. And you may determine that you want to be treated somewhere else, but what I've been told is you want to get some different opinions, and if you don't know who to contact, contact me. I'll get them to you or someone else, and let's just find out what your options are.
Yeah, we're all a community trying to end the suffering and death from cancer. There are a lot of wonderful people in the state and around the city that take care of people who have cancer, support their families, and the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center is there. We have the resources, we have the research, and we have the experts.
There's a sticker on Jackson's Porsche for In Lung Cancer Now as well. What's the best website for either that or just regular the Simon Cancer Center website?
It's pretty simple, nlungcancernow.iu.edu. And I love this partnership because it does bridge two of the things that I'm so passionate about. I'm so passionate about auto racing and IndyCar racing and the Indianapolis 500. And I'm very passionate about ending the suffering and death from cancer.
Thank you, Dr. Hanna. Thank you very much. Dr. Nasser Hanna. So before we do our next thing, I want to...
Do I have sound?
Well, try this one then.
Can I just point out that you just mentioned that your son drives a Porsche?
Pretty cool, huh? I drive a Civic.
Yeah.
I like my Civic, but he's driven a BMW, a Porsche, and an Aston Martin all in the last, 8 months. Sports car racing's not all bad, is it?
Yeah. I don't like Jackson anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So a couple of thoughts. We'll get back on topic before we do our next item of business or something. Yeah. So one of the things I learned, let's go back to bump day first, and that drama of the four going for three. So Marcus Ericsson... forgets what lap he's on, essentially.
And, how is that possible?
Well,
I should have asked one of the drivers.
So that's one of the reasons why I asked him in the TV interview, because I'm listening to his scanner, and I hadn't heard anything until white flag, and I thought, well, maybe I just didn't notice it. So then on his next run, I specifically was listening, and on a lot of the scanners, they're saying lap one, lap two, and so forth. They were not giving him a countdown, and I'm sure that's because he said, don't bother me, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing. What I don't know is if they normally would do white flag or if they just would say checker, and it's just you keep running until you hit checker. Maybe that's what threw him, because he did say we're going to change our procedures, but they did it the same way the second time around. Nothing was said until white flag, but I haven't spoken to Marcus off the air to kind of get into it, but I think the answer would be I simply made a mistake. So he knows his car is fast enough, not as good as the original, but he was quicker than Nolan Siegel. So they had two options after they needed to run again. Put it back in line immediately to give themselves a second chance. Or we thought, well, no, they're going to go at the very end to make sure that Graham Rahal or Nolan Siegel or whoever ends up on the bubble cannot respond. That's what happened to Graham last year. And I wish I would have thought of this in the moment, because I think it surprised people when he rolled out of the pit with 8 minutes to go, which meant that Siegel was going to have a chance. And I thought, well, why wouldn't you just, it's like shooting with 8 seconds on the clock instead of 1 second. And then I realized it right after we left the air. And I asked Rob Edwards of Andretti today, all right, I think I figured it out. Essentially where Siegel was, if you leave your pit box, you are withdrawn. So that's why he wasn't going to do that. But if somehow he could time it out where he was going to make the last run, then he would withdraw his time. But as long as he didn't crash, he was going to get back in the race. So that's what it was. It was just simply a matter of time. And it's not who gets to the front of the line first. If Siegel would have pulled out of his pit box, Ericsson would have had to go behind him. So once you get to a certain point, and it takes about 5 minutes for a run.
Oh, I see.
So if they waited until 5 minutes left and Siegel pulls out, he's going to be the last run of the day. He's going to withdraw his time, and his time could be 206 miles per hour, and it would be the 33rd fastest time, because Ericsson didn't have one. He had withdrawn his time so they could work on the car and run the cooling laps. So that's why Rob Edwards is smarter than us, and he said, I actually had to explain it to some people in our team, too, about what we're doing here. We got a plan. But that's why they rolled off early, to make sure that Siegel couldn't beat them. Plus, they felt like they're probably quicker, but at least we're going to get a chance. They're probably quicker than Siegel.
Do you think, and I haven't thought through the ramifications of this, but do you think in that moment, the way to clean that up, if you will, is to ensure that if you get bumped, you get a second chance. You know, that would alleviate the Mickey Mouse of waiting till the very last minute.
Yeah. But at least that kept them, because the fear with that format and what we feared from a television programming standpoint is that there would be three runs and then no one would go until 5 minutes left. And that's about what happened. Nobody went until 8 minutes left. So I still think we could think about that. I don't know that I have a better idea, but we could think about that. I don't know that we found the perfect scenario. You know, ideally it would be if you had five or six going for three, then that kind of solves that. But when it's just one, that's the case. But you know what? Saturday was thrilling, because then it's, you've got seven or eight that feel like they're in peril to stay out of that last row shootout.
Yeah, I wish we had 35. You hate sending one home.
I do, yeah. The only good thing about this is that Nolan Siegel is definitely, you know, there's some...
He will be back.
Unfortunately, for one reason or another, sometimes it's just simply budget. Sometimes it's, hey, you're borderline talent. Nolan Siegel has talent, and he has budget. He has enough talent where pretty soon he may not need the budget. But he will be back. We'll see him in another IndyCar race at Toronto, and he might even do another IndyCar race before the end of the season as well. So that was one storyline from the bump side of things, but it shows you how difficult this is when a team like Andretti, with someone like Marcus Ericsson, almost every year we see someone that you don't expect, and what's the common denominator? Usually they've crashed. It's what happened to Ericsson. It's what happened to Siegel. And then where Ray Hall is at this point is another story. You know, the road to recovery is going to have another year. That's very baffling, and I don't have an answer for that, and obviously they don't either as well. All right, we continue with plenty more coming up from the Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Lux Air Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Wireless mic at the very back area of the Burger Bash. We're back on radio, 93.5, 107.5 The Fan. I wanted to walk back to the auction items before we close those up and see where we're at and see if I'm going to bid on anything here. We've got the Hinch canvas prints that are signed, Pato Award, Marcus Ericsson in the IU Simon Cancer Center colors, a couple of those. Indy 500 winner Ryan Hunter Ray is here as well. We have a front wing from Jacques Lazier's old style 2003 IRL car that is only at $200 right now. The polka dot Connor Daly car is only $200 for the print of that. Full field from last year. What is this at? This is at $800. I think that's pretty good. All 33 are on that from last year. What's the tire? There we go. The tire is up to $2,000. The last I heard, it was $650, and I was going to buy that. That wasn't going to go for $650. I feel the $2,000 for the 2015 tire is good, but if you'd like to beat that, you can. Santino Ferrucci's canvas print is over here. We have a hotel room this weekend at the Hilton. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and a police escort bus. This charcuterie board with the Burger Bash logo on there is pretty nice as well. Sun King, a packet from them. Sweet packages to the IMSA race, Reds tickets. In studio for Trackside and golf with Kurt and Kevin. That is all available. A Ganassi shop tour. We have race tickets. We have the 50-50 raffle that is about to end. What else? Savannah Lee, what else do we have? What's the total for the 50-50?
We have $944, so we're trying to get to 1,000. So let's all pitch in and get her done.
Okay, so $500 going to the Cancer Center and $500 going to your pocket as well. So I'm sure I forgot some other things, but those are some of the main items that we have. Don't forget to sign up for the Bricks to Beat Cancer over here. If you just love racing and hate cancer, we support that as well. Where's Janet at? There's Janet. So we really want to recognize Janet Monroe from Cluster Truck for coming on board and supporting as well. I'll watch out for the speaker there so we don't get any feedback there. So I contacted Janet a few months ago and said, hey, here's what we're doing. This is what we'd like to do. And you came up with better ideas. Thank you for coming on board.
Thank you. We're so excited to be here today as Cluster Truck.
So you have donated 20% of burger sales up through race day for our three specialty burgers, the Connor Daly, the Kevin Bowen, the Jackson Lee burger. How are sales going for that so far over the last 3 weeks?
Sales are going pretty well. We've raised, I think, over $2,500. So far, so hopefully today we'll raise even more, and our goal is to get to at least 5,000, so we'll see.
And you donated all the food here for everybody, and we're learning how to use the app. What do you think separates Cluster Truck from everyone else? What makes Cluster Truck, because as I have explained my partnership with you, the more people I talk to, it's, oh, I love Cluster Truck. What do you think makes people love Cluster Truck?
Well, we started here in Indiana as a software company. So the entire concept was built from the ground up in order to deliver hot, fresh food fast to you. So as soon as it's done in the kitchen, it's handed to the driver and it's off to you. So it'll never sit around in our kitchen. There's no heat lamps, just great food delivered fast.
Website is probably pretty simple.
It is clustertruck.com.
I like that. No slashes, no long websites. Clustertruck.com. Janet, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hopefully this is the first of many burger bashes delivered by Cluster Truck. Janet Monroe from Cluster Truck.
By the way, the answer is the burger is outstanding. That's the answer for why you should, you know, utilize Cluster Truck.
I'm hoping to have one tonight at 8:01. That
I've
would
ordered
be the goal.
Two.
I've had the Jackson Lee burger. It's really, really good. All right, so we talked before about the last row shootout. What stands out from next? What's the next biggest story from either the Fast 12 yesterday, or maybe it was something on Saturday?
Well, I think, and maybe some people are growing a little weary of the story, but I still think that the Kyle Larson's adaptability is the most impressive thing I've seen since Alonso got here in 17. This is really impressive what he's been able to do, and he was mixing it up in traffic today. Had a chance to talk to him after the session. He said, look, I was at the front of the line, I was in the middle, I was in the back, and the race car still felt good, and I wasn't over my skis, so to speak. The fact that he could just drop into this and be productive is truly amazing. I think quietly we should be talking about Ferrucci and a chance for a Foyt. Somebody is going to get in there and mess up with the three Penske's. Somebody will do it. The two most logical would be Alexander Rossi and Santino Ferrucci. They start fourth and sixth. Don't you think somebody's going to get in the middle of that Penske sandwich very quick, and they're not going to take kindly to just being shoved out. They're going to force their way in there, and Rossi and Ferrucci look like the two best to do that.
Well, and some people don't even think the Penske's will play well together.
Right.
So you have that aspect of it. And then, you know, I love where Alexander Rossi is at. This is spicy Alexander Rossi. He's confident. He knows his car is good. You know, it's one thing for him to tell me off the air, they're really annoying me. But then he said it again in the TV interview, and annoyed Alexander Rossi with a good race car, I think, is going to be a huge factor. He's as good a pick as any. Scott McLaughlin is going to be tough to beat, though.
He is. But the other one, and I can't believe I've moved off this horse because I've really been riding this one, is Pato O'Ward. Pato O'Ward has been exceptional in this race over the last 4 years. He's been in the top 10 every year. Last year, he's battling for second place, crashes in turn three on lap 193. He was right in the mix with Newgarden and Erickson. He's finished second here. He's finished fourth. He's finished sixth. He's been in the mix. He's led like 85 laps in the last three races. Pato is going to be strong as well.
Last call for the 50-50 raffle over here with the young ladies with the red shirt, and we're closing up the auction in a matter of less than a minute or so. So help cancer research, if you will, and make a donation in that cause. Chevy versus Honda. Clearly, Chevy was strongest with the extra horsepower. I think there are some Hondas that can still be a factor. We've seen that. Like last year was one where Honda was faster in qualifying for most cars, but Penske was still good enough on race day.
I just don't know if there's as many Hondas that can mix it up.
Agreed.
That's the problem.
Herta?
Herta can mix it up. I'm not convinced Kyle Kirkwood can. But he, you know what? In the last 20 laps
close.
Last year, before he had the accident when he made contact with Felix Rosenquist, who, by the way, could be...
That's the other one.
He could be in the middle of this. But Kirkwood may have had as good a car as anybody left last year. So I would expect Kirkwood to be
pretty good, but I don't think he's Colton Herta good.
And Pelo and Dixon. They were not awesome
today.
Don't
count them out.
Nobody was really talking about them, but I did check in with the team, and they felt like their two veterans are going to be fine. They have three rookies, so that's a different situation for them. But I think the 10 and the 9 will be factors. I need to see more from Elio to see where he's at. I think Carb Day will maybe get us a little more of an indication. Like I've always said before, after a day like this, I need to talk to them, or I at least need to hear what they're saying, because the speed chart doesn't tell us anything. I don't know where McLaughlin ended up, but at one point he was 32nd.
21st.
He's not the 21st fastest car. He's the fastest car. So it's all about how much traffic you have, whether you got a tow, are you heavy on fuel and all that. But it's Penske, it's McLaren, it's Herta. Is Sato, can he be a factor?
I don't think a one-off with 5 to 6 pit stops can run with a Penske or a McLaren or an Andretti that does, or Ganassi that runs this every week. I mean, I think Sato is capable.
Yeah.
I just don't know if, you know, they're not the fourth best group of guys in Andretti, or I mean with Rahal. It's not the fourth best group of people with Rahal, but the point is they don't work together every race. Mm-hmm. When you got to make 5 or 6 pit stops, I'm just not sure he can do it.
Who else am I forgetting? That Ed Carpenter Racing,
yeah,
is always fast. Rinus VK got it back together. He's starting up near the front. Christian Rasmussen's a rookie. His goal should be to run the entire race. I've not talked to Ed. I don't know where he's at so far this month.
I don't know either, but he has looked better. You know, I think he looks better than he has in the last maybe the year or so. Rinus VK is going to have a year very soon where he runs in the top 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But he's,
and he needs to do that.
And
this
he
is
needs
also,
to do
this that. Is also a contract year. He's one of the free agents, and he's shown he can be fast, but he needs to get to the finish, not only to help his stock, but I think it's going to be really tough. That's the question I have for McLaughlin. Can you go from not being in the mix at the end to then winning it? I think he probably can, because remember, this is not a fourth-year driver. I know what he was doing in supercars is different, but that's pressure. He won an awful lot of races, and I think he is so studious at his craft, I think McLaughlin can win.
I do, too. I said this earlier with the McLaren guys standing here, and I believe this. I just don't know if with 10 laps, 20 laps to go, when it's time to get on the horse. Felix Rosenquist talked about this the other day, about how the game changes in that last 20 laps, and you got to be able to do not only from a muscle standpoint, but you got to have speed and know how to adjust your car for the circumstances at hand. I just don't know if Kyle Larson can do that.
Hmm. Hey, before I forget, I see Mark Monteith out there.
He wrote
a
great book.
Mark was on our show a couple of months ago, and I think he's got a few books in his backpack. So he didn't write the book. He edited the book and kind of finished it up that Angelo Angelopoulos started on Bill Vukovich. He was friendly with Bill Vukovich and started it a few years after. You know the rest of the story.
Well, I don't. Actually, I don't. I've read the book, but the point is, he started. I can't speak to it like some people can, like Mark can. But it's a fascinating book, and I actually have intrigued as much by Angelo's part of the book, mm-hmm. his story as a reporter, and it's an excellent book.
It's been very well received. Help me with the name, Mark. Shout out the name.
So, Vukovich.
The man who wouldn't lift, is that right? The man who wouldn't lift?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Vukovich. Just Google Vukovich and you'll find it. It's available online. And is it in bookstores locally now? Or you can have the author sign it, or the co-author.
Yeah.
Because he wrote some of it and certainly put it together, and it was really good. I read it in about 3 days, so that was awesome. All right, we're going to take an early break for this one because we want to have a longer segment instead of usually I get behind and it's 30 seconds. So we want a good full 7, 8, 10 minutes, and we'll talk amongst ourselves here at the event. It's the Burger Bash delivered by Cluster Truck at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Lux Air Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
By the
hey,
way,
we're back. So maybe I'll have to bring headsets next year so I know what's going on. But, you know, actually, the biggest challenge I had all weekend, by the way, welcome back to the Burger Bash at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I always like to tell behind-the-scenes stories. You know, is it you walk too much? Was it too hot? No, I'm not digging ditches. It's not hard. The hardest part about my job this weekend and why I wore contact lenses on Sunday was because I wore glasses on Saturday and my head was killing me with the headsets with my glasses pushing into the side. So that's the biggest issue that I had all weekend. So I feel like that was pretty good. It went pretty well. And those are long shows, but they go so quick. I had mixed feelings, and I still, when I go up to it, I think Saturday doesn't really finalize a lot. You know, we don't know who the poll is, and we don't know who's out. But yet I find I really have enjoyed Saturday the last few years.
Yeah, I think Saturday's become really a special day. It's fun to watch the battle at the top. It's fun to watch the battle at 10, 11, 12, 13 for the fast 12. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to at the 30 mark to see who's going to be below that and who's just going to make it. By the way, my sob story is that I actually have to wear a coat in the media center because they decide it needs to be 50 degrees and they need to remove the Rice Krispie treats. Those are the two problems that I have.
Another thought I have from the weekend, and I hope Chevy and Honda don't feel like this is awful and negative publicity.
It's good to have it, isn't it?
Well, what I would say for their standpoint, it's kind of the same as Firestone. When it's the best is when the tires wear out quickly and at different measures. And, you know, I know Firestone could make a tire that would last forever. Well, not forever, but as long as they wanted to. You could probably not change tires the entire race, but we like degradation. Same thing with the engine partners. They could make an engine that would go 4,000 miles, but that's why competition is good, because they're both trying to do everything they can. And when you try to push it, sometimes you push just barely over the edge. Honda's lost some engines. Chevy had the plenum events that I can't really explain, other than it's not good if you're trying to go really fast for a sustained amount of time. I find this is no drawback. It just shows that they're committed, and sometimes you have to take some risks. Motorsport is all about risk.
I see it as a positive, not from their standpoint, but just something to keep you on the edge to know that, like in Agustin Canapino's case, he could run most of his four laps and then have a problem. That keeps you in tune with the run.
Yeah.
And it just adds that little bit of layer. I don't think we'll see those plenum problems in the race, but if we had one or two, it'd be kind of cool. Something else to kind of keep the drama going.
And as long as it's not the last few laps, you can recover from it.
Sure.
So it just,
yeah,
you know,
I don't want it to hurt somebody's race, but if it causes, or a crash, you know, if somebody has a hiccup in the middle of, you know, entering the backstretch, that may be a problem, but there you go.
Before I forget, I want to thank Dan Skyver and the staff at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for basically donating the space. And also getting us a show car over here. That's pretty cool. For a photo op, a real live Indy car is over here for pictures. So this has been fantastic. Thanks to Aramark and all the partners who have helped us raise money for cancer research and have a good time. So Dr. Lee, come on up. While they're tallying and doing the math, I want to speak to the head of the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, who is a transformed Buffalo Bills fan, but he is fully on board. So I'm sure he's a Pacers fan, he's a Racers fan, and he's a Colts fan as well. Dr. Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you. And is there any better place than Indianapolis in May? Racers and Pacers. It's incredible.
So this has been awesome to do this again. I want to give you an opportunity to kind of explain what we're all here for. What is the purpose of the money that we're raising?
Well, first, I would like to thank Kurt and the entire Lee clan, Kevin, myself, I'm honorary, Stacy, Savannah, and Jackson for really putting together a marvelous show. Thank all the Burger Bash staff who've done a tremendous job. I actually thought when it came out here this afternoon that it would be like what Marcus Ericsson was doing in the cockpit of his car yesterday in qualifying. It'd be 130 degrees out here, and my shoes would be sticking to the ground, and it's turned out to be a fabulous evening.
Nice.
And I would like to thank the Cluster Truck people who make the best burgers in the world, and if you don't have one, you're missing out. And our other sponsors, Republic Airlines, for all their support here. And I would like to actually thank our 50-50 winner, who I believe just donated his winnings to the Cancer Center.
Oh,
that is awesome.
It was over $1,000.
That was incredible. Thank you very much. So we're here because this race is the greatest spectacle in racing, and the IU Simon Cancer Center is the greatest spectacle in cancer research. The team out there is tremendous. They're doing cutting-edge research, and they're really changing and impacting the lives of Hoosiers everywhere. We have a campaign going on right now for early detection and screening, which Dr. Hannah is leading on the lung cancer side. We want to not have people get cancer. We want to put ourselves out of business. We do not want to see any of you in our clinic. So we are working hard. It's tied to our website. Go to the website, learn about cancer screening, what you can do for cancer screening in skin, colon, prostate, breast, the whole shebang, and not get cancer. And so we are very, very excited about it because research cures cancer and your philanthropy fuels the research. So thank you all for coming.
I want to let you get a peek of this before we turn it around.
Oh, my God.
That's our total.
I'm going to add a couple more zeros on because thank you.
$32,250 to support the Burger Bash and to support cancer research. Thank you all so much for being a part of this, and we're already going to start working on 2025. We're out of time on the radio
show.
All
right, you guys are tremendous.
We will be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on radio Beyond the Bricks with Jake and Mike coming up next. Thank you, Kurt.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow night, Dr. Lee. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for coming and joining us as we get set for the 108th Indianapolis 500.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.